Hi, welcome back to this next episode of Showing Up. I'm Yao Ling and I run Foreign Policy Design. Showing Up is about uncovering what it takes to get to where you want to go and learning across the different fields of design, business, tech, and the arts. We will share stories and journeys of founders and entrepreneurs. Hopefully, we can help instill learnings, spark inspiration, and celebrate the human endeavor and spirit. Today, we're really thrilled to have the founder of one of the hippest sandwich joint in town, Park Bench Deli. We have Dre in the house. So thanks for showing up, Dre.
Thank you.
Welcome to Showing Up.
Thanks for letting me come here, man.
Showing Up, as I explained before, is about uncovering what it takes to get to where you want to go.
Oh, the show's called Showing Up. Oh, I did. Oh,
yes.
I thought you said thanks for showing up. Okay, understand.
That as well.
Got it's it. A pun.
By trying to uncover how to get to where we want to go by learning across different fields, sure. Design, business, technology, and the arts.
So why don't you introduce yourself, Jay?
My name's Andre. I'm the creative director for Park Bench Deli and Onda by Park Bench Deli. And yeah, we're a sandwich shop in Singapore.
A question, like how do you articulate a vision? How do you paint that picture?
It all starts with a goal first, because without the goal, you can't really make it into something more real. And the way we visualize or how we visualize for our company itself, it's, you know, we're in a sandwich game. Where do we go in that, you know, strategic side of, do we go Subway, do we go, you know, American deli, Jewish deli, Italian deli? I think there's a very, very big scope of that vision, but then we still had to narrow it down to where we wanted to be. I think how Park Bench became Park Bench was really kind of just becoming an overall deli rather than being a very hyper-specific deli itself. And with that goal of just being that good sandwich shop and bring people back home to America, it all starts from that vision of the why first before we do the what, how, and all the other stuff that comes along with the business. So I think with this vision of Park Bench and how we see it, you know, we're not the first sandwich shop to begin with. So something that before we even first met you guys was just try. See how people actually eat it first before it makes it into an actual business. You're already testing the market to see whether your vision even makes sense to the demographic that you're trying to feed. And once we did a couple pop-ups and we saw it, it kind of made the vision a little bit more clear of where we want to go with it. And and it's been 7 years since we started that pop-up, and it's nice to still be around
Even
in these tough times and stuff. I think that's how I see my vision, and I hope that it kind of just follows along with everyone that, you know, rides the bus with us, I guess.
Mm. I think there are many fans of PBD out there who will agree with me on this statement that PBD has achieved almost like a cult status, it's an institution, right?
So I would like to make it an institution. I think we're still getting there to make it into a proper institution itself, but yeah.
What do you think has contributed this solidification of this status?
It all starts with the team. Without that team that I have in sight from day one till today, I don't think we'll bring whatever my vision is for the company or the company's philosophies itself to the table without the team that buys into the whole thing. I think that's the most important system in a company. Yes, the culture part, there's like the compensation systems and all that kinds of stuff. But the most important one is really finding a team that really gives a shit about what you do and buying into the whole thing and wanting to grow it rather than just coming in to just do it. It's more of like, let's grow this together into what we want to do. And Park Bench has been very blessed with, you know, a couple things that we've done. We did a lot of pop-ups long, long time ago and just pretty much did every single one of them. But choosing the right ones that we wanted to really focus on and something that's part of our own lives, besides just making a business out of sandwiches and stuff, it's really supporting the cultures that we support outside of work. Art, music, you know, all these things were such a huge thing for me and my life too. So doing that kind of thing helps it kind of grow. Rather than just being a sandwich shop, you're kind of doing everything. Not everything, but you're kind of making a brand more of a self-actualization brand than a needed brand itself, you know? And we want to try to get there in that Maslow hierarchies of that pyramid. I think to grow a brand to the top of that pyramid, something that I would like to do.
Yeah, I remember one of my biggest observation of PBD is the generosity. Like, I remember the first pastrami sandwich I had from you guys.
I think that's just a style. I don't think it's a generosity. We wanted to kind of change the game of how Singapore perceives sandwiches. I grew up in America, so it's something that I eat on a daily basis rather than like a rice noodle culture in Singapore. And obviously American portions are 10 times bigger than anything, right? Even a pasta dish, Singapore's one compared to like an American portion itself. So for me, I just kind of wanted to increase that volume of protein inside whatever you're eating, whether it's a pastrami or whatever protein that's in there. You know, I think that was important to visualize that of how you eat that sandwich rather than too much the ratios and proportions of everything. I think it's important for Park Bench and how we serve our food.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Something about digging out some of the carbs and
make the cross section look a bit more sexy, right?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, I think as someone who are quite intimate with the brand, I'm really seeing the part where you're playing, championing causes, helping the neighborhood community, as you're saying. I think it's really, like what you say, not just pushing sandwiches.
Sure.
It's really like building that community and I think some kind of a lifestyle.
It has to be a part of lifestyle. If not, you treat the work or even the brand itself as, or any company that you work for, it just feels like you're going to work and becomes very, not boring, but it becomes very mundane in a way, right? Very stagnated and to a certain extent of just going to work. So when you plug lifestyles in, like us being blessed with, you know, all the brands that we've gotten to work with that collaborated with us from the big restaurants to even lifestyle brands. And I think that makes it a little bit more exciting to work with us. Just because there are things that we collab with that, you know, we wouldn't expect. It's just, it might be a food pop-up, but all of a sudden, you know, we just got blessed with like a Carhartt, like, you know, collaboration itself, where our whole team gets some Carhartt like aprons and stuff. And I think it makes the team a lot more excited than just kind of, you know, it's something that doesn't mean much in terms of the monetization part of, you know, they're not getting an salary increase or whatever, but like it's something fun where you're part of this brand. It's like an athlete getting like a signed shoe, Nike like sign you or something like that. It really feels like that in a way where you don't just come to work. Yeah, you learn the food part of it, but you kind of learn a lot of the other things and the benefits of I guess the brand itself and what we try to get with. And it helps,
yeah,
for sure. It makes people more excited to get to work.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yes.
It's a fun place.
Yeah. Hopefully.
It is.
Better don't complain, guys.
Have you found yourself say, we are fucked, it's over?
Oh, man. My favorite word. I think, I wouldn't say many times, but I think I've thought about it a couple times. Obviously, it's hard to share that in your company itself. It's something that, as a business owner, when you have questions like that, you don't bring it out to the whole company, right? It's like, bring it home and really kind of think about it. And I think one of the biggest things that I've learned through, whether failures or success or, you know, whatever it is that I've gone through in my whole career itself, I think the greatest weakness itself is kind of giving up. And I think that's the easiest thing to kind of do, right? It's really just say, fuck it, I don't want to do it. You walk away from it and just restart. When I think of the word give up, it's not me giving up. It's actually me giving up on everyone that works under the company and the amount of people that, you know, families or whoever that actually works for Park Bench Deli and even shareholders themselves who are considered friends. And it's something so important to me where I can't just, it's because I don't want it. And the easiest way to, or the cowardly way is just like, okay, fuck it, I don't want to do it already. Then I can start fresh without no stress of this problem and just walk away and restart the whole thing. When you see it kind of going down or you're kind of failing a little bit, just try to give it one more try until the point where you really don't want already. But I think that few times when I thought about that one question, like, fuck it, it's over, I think, you know, let's try this or let's try one more thing before I really give up the whole thing itself. And that has helped me and the company itself kind of stay afloat and be alive through this tough like pandemic right now in the year two of how Singapore's kind of going through the whole thing. But it's definitely been tough, and even this year itself, I've thought about it too. But me itself, it's not being overconfident, but being confident in what you're going to do and what you're going to work for, or you see something towards the end of that tunnel where you want to try to reach, and it's like, okay, we're almost there, so let's just go for it, instead of like, okay, I just shut down and then 20 something employees have to go, you know, unemployed all of a sudden, something I can't do. So for me, I can never really give up in that sense of things.
So when it gets really hard, how do you find that fire, that motivation? Where do you find that mental resilience?
I think for me, it's really to go out and look at what other people are doing. I can't sulk at home. I sulk at home, it gets worse and worse. You bring yourself lower and lower, and you know, everything from my neighbor or a friend that's doing something cooler than what I think is cool, it pushes me a little bit to motivate myself to get that fire where I'm like, hey, if he can do that, I can try to do something. Maybe not similar to what he's doing or whatever, but you know, having that idea to get that fire again, I guess, it's something. And for me, it's always like, I mean, we've been stuck here for 2 years, and my food inspiration has always been around the world, and not being able to go, kind of, you got to brain jam a little bit with you know, how you want to see things. But even from within the country, you could still see so much and explore so much, rather than always just depending on going outside to the world to look for something. I think Singapore is a pretty good gastronomy hub. Allows you to explore the country in terms of cuisines itself and try to find some sort of inspiration through that, you know. And I think that's how I find fire.
So another question for you.
Sure.
People say it is easy to run a team who does what they are told, .. How would you respond to that?
Who said that? I think it really depends on what team you're trying to have, right? I think there's a certain different ways of how people run the systems with their team and stuff. And for me, I think it's an important part where you don't use, I mean, there's compensation, it's an incentive to motivate people, but I feel like that's the least that you should try to motivate through monetizing money. Because I feel like if you're doing that, you're kind of really, not saying it's a wrong team or whatever, but I think it's a wrong perception or mentality going into the company where, you know, oh, if I come here, I work here, then it's going to give me this kind of money if I do this and do that. What if I don't do that? Then, you know, I think the important thing for me is really getting the right people to hop on the bus first. And then all the other thing kind of rewards after that. I think if you don't have that right team, and I keep repeating that itself because I've been blessed with really good teams from the start till now. And, you know, it's because of them, that's who we are today. And if we didn't get any of them on board to this sandwich bus, we wouldn't have been where we are today for sure. I think if we just continue, just kind of chefs coming in to collect paychecks and not giving a shit about the not inventing sandwiches, but recreating some like classics, like, you know, treasured classics around the world, or just doing what we do or in our own kind of philosophy of how we want to create the sandwich. I think it's if they don't hop onto that kind of like, you know, that bus, not say bandwagon, I don't think it's a bandwagon itself, but just getting your teammates into the whole thing, like it's really like a basketball team. One person can't win this whole thing. So for us, or at least for how I see it, it's really how we built our team around it. It's not working with people like people's weaknesses to try to strengthen them through like compensation. I don't think that ever helps. I think it's looking for the right people with the strengths that could help the company, and it helps everybody in a way, right? Like it pushes me too when I have a team like that. That's, I think, probably smarter than me now. It makes me kind of drive myself a lot more, like you mentioned, ask me about that fire question. I think that's really one important one. If I don't have a team that pushes me itself, I wouldn't find that fire for myself to push everybody else too. And yeah, I think that's something that's really, really critical for our company itself.
I think that leads to the next question, where it's about hiring. Like, how do you hire? How do you put that team together, that winning team?
I don't hire people through resumes. I think that's the last thing. You can fake a resume, you can type all this shit in there to make it sound so good. And after that, you come to work and you're not that great compared to the paper itself. So for us, I think it's very different in how we see it. We interview, but the interview is very short. and we're just like, just come and stodge with us for like 3 days to 5 days. So we see how they work. They could decide that they might not want to work here after working with us for that first 5 days. It's like a trial period. It's like, you know, if you're vibing with that person and stuff like that, you already like that connection itself. And then from there, let's see how he works and let's see how he works with the team itself. You know, I think one-on-one interviews don't really help, because if I choose it and it's actually going to work with like my head chef and like five other chefs around, I feel like they should be the ones kind of deciding that and not me. Even the individual that wants to join a company, whether they actually wanted to join or not. Some people, I mean, Park Bench Deli is not really a restaurant. It's a pretty high volume like sandwich shop. So people that come from restaurants do a different, they're really good at what they do. But when it comes to Park Bench, it's a complete different game of mass production type of style, you know, and you're going fast with quality. So I think chefs learn, and it's a good skill set to have. So when you move forward to wherever you own your own restaurant or working for somebody else, just that's that one skill set that you could get from Park Bench, I guess.
So over the past 7 years, did you come across someone who came in for 3 to 5 days and did something that just blew your mind away?
The ones that come in for 1 day and then don't show up again with no phone calls and don't pick up calls or whatever, those blow my mind actually more than someone actually doing something good in the restaurant. You're wasting they just wasted their own time and wasted our time too, but those are ones that blow my mind more than the ones that actually stay all the way. Stay all the way ones we blow each other's mind on a daily basis with our nonsense at Park Bench. But yeah, I think those are the ones that blow my mind, because like, hey, I thought you wanted a job and all of a sudden you don't want a job. Triggers me all the time about hiring in Singapore because it's so hard. It's not saying there's a small talent pool here, but we have a very small population. So it makes it harder for niche industries itself to find really good quality ones, because you don't have a big pool to begin with. So I think that's quite tough in Singapore, and I'm looking forward to working with a lot of future like young Singaporeans that inspire to do what they want to do in the future. You know, I think that's how we see everyone that works for us, and we want to try to grow them in that sense. So hopefully people stay. I mean, we've been blessed with a lot of people staying for a long time, and we still want to grow them in whatever opportunity that I get from the business side of things. Yeah.
So I have this quote that I wanted to see whether you could respond to. Someone once said, the secrets to being a successful trailblazer is the ability to focus and make the best move when there are no good moves.
I think that's a very, very important thing. If you don't try it, you really never know. And, you know, whether it's I mean, everyone has a different perception of success, whether it's money or you know, whatever it is. And for me, I think being able to show Singapore what sandwiches are like around the world that I've experienced, and be able to do that from really me, Ming, and Amir back then, or myself and Ming just saying, hey, want to make a sandwich? Maybe sure got one, I want to eat one. From that, we really took that idea and took that first step to get, you know, do what we're doing. And obviously there's a lot of trials and errors of doing what we've done and over the past 7 years, but you know, hopefully we're in a better place now and looking forward to kind of serve more sandwiches to this country and hopefully around the world too.
Ideas are just ideas, right? They are sayers and doers.
It's true. Yeah, that I think that's a big thing. There's a lot of things of I want to do, but if you actually don't do it, then nothing ever gets done. So I think that's really important for anybody in any aspect of life too. It doesn't have to be a business, but whatever someone wants to do, if they don't just say they don't want to do it, it won't happen, right? So if no one's a risk taker, I don't think half the businesses around we are actually around, you know. It's all because of some guy wanting to try to challenge the norm, right? And that's how it always been for any kind of business. I think it's the same thing for how you guys wanted to do what you do in the branding thing, kind of disrupt in your own style of how foreign policy looks at the whole branding perception compared to the rest of everybody else and stuff. And I think that's huge. You know, and it's such a blessing for me and honor for me to, you know, be able to work with you guys since the start too. And it's helped our brand, you know, be who we are too. So thank you guys. No,
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me for this. I'm glad I showed up to this showing up.
Yes, you did show that.
any last thoughts or things that you want to share?
Everyone stay safe. Follow your dreams. Do what you want to do. I don't know. I'm a horrible motivation speaker. But yeah, do your thing.
But just do it.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
while listening to the podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at Foreign Policy Design.